We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back to another edition of Bangarangs and Daggers, number one podcast of Coronation. I am your host, Patrick Gearhart, and with me, as always, is co-host Nate McHugh. Nate, we're in the middle of the off season. There's literally nothing going on. How are you doing?
Well, I'm pretty tired.
Why are you tired? Please explain.
Yeah. Well, there are things I won't explain, but you know that story. But I drove back from Kentucky, family reunion, and I just got back home. Oh, actually, we stopped at home, and we had to go to Lincoln to go do stuff. But so I am tired, and we went to a campground in Kentucky, and it was super hot. And I was playing chess with my son. And it's like one of those outside in the campground, like the KOA campgrounds I've seen more and more. But the chess pieces are, you know, like 3 feet high. And so we can kind of just stand in the middle of the board. But it was like 9 a.m. and him and I were standing there and we were both sweating, like just, you know, sweat pouring down our arms. And it was brutal.
Isn't that how it should be, like south of the Mason-Dixon line this time of year?
Yeah, well, it was. I've never been to Kentucky. I mean, you know, we stopped in St. Louis and we went to a baseball game. And we stopped in Cincinnati and went to a baseball game because my wife and I are trying to hit every Major League Baseball stadium, you know, within our lifetime.
How many do you have so far?
12.
12? That's not bad at all.
Yeah, and we've been doing this for, I'm going to say 8 years. So we try to hit them up when we don't try to go places to go see a baseball game. We try to hit them up when we're in the area. And it's funny that one of the stadiums I thought would be the hardest to find an excuse would be Cincinnati. And it just happened to be that my wife's family reunion, they wanted to meet in Kentucky. And
so you were in the Louisville area then?
Yeah, right outside Louisville. And Cincinnati is about 2 hours north. So I thought, you know, let's just do it now. It's funny, though. My wife was pregnant because we're still going to baseball games. And she said, hey, Nate, let's – because, oh, I forgot where I wanted to go. I think it was somewhere it sounded fun. And she's like, hey, how about this year let's go to Cleveland and Cincinnati? You know, she was pregnant, so she couldn't drink. And I'm like,
sounds like wonderful places to go when you're pregnant.
I know. It's like,
that's the first thing I'd think of. Hey, let's go to Cleveland and yeah, Cincinnati.
I know. It's
in
like
the middle of summer.
The most
voluntarily.
I'm like, you know,
I'm sure they're wonderful places. I've been to both. They're fine. They're fine.
Yeah. I was a Cavs fan, so I actually wanted to go to Cleveland. I should say LeBron fan. But Cincinnati, I'm like, I have no interest in going to Cincinnati. And I thought that was going to be one of the cities, that and Detroit, that I'm like, I don't know when we're going to get around. Like, when we end up in Detroit at some point.
Is Cincinnati's nickname still the Natty? Or is that even a thing?
I've never heard of that.
I went to Cincinnati when I was in college once. And we did.
Did you go down to the baseball area?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you go down to the baseball stadium?
I think we did at one point. Didn't actually go to a game. But we did some local cleanup there, and we had T-shirts, and it said, "Don't trash the Natty." As in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
We all thought it was cute too, and I think, you know, we all drank Natty Light that night. But nonetheless, I take it the Natty didn't take off.
No, or maybe it did. At least not. I didn't hear. But so I was talking to my wife, and I said, okay, if you have, you know, you give me your top five stadiums we've been to so far, and this is after Cincinnati, and we take Wrigley Field out because we are both Cubs fans, and so we're just gonna take it out. And my number one was Cincinnati. It's a great stadium. Like, it's down by the river. There's like an entertainment district. There's parking between underground between the baseball stadium and the football stadium
for your van.
And it's great. And if you take your kids, which, you know, I care more about now, they have an area for them, like, for them to play, and that, you know, that's pretty big deal to me. And it was fun. Oh, and another thing is I won a free basketball because I made four shots in a row at one of their games. You like pay $5, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I get to make 4 out of 5, and I told her, okay, well, what if I miss the first two? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, so I airballed the first one, and I missed the second one really bad. And she's like, I'll give you an extra one. And then I hit the next one, and I made 3 more in a row. And she was not very happy.
She's like, I know a sucker when I see one. Little did she know.
Because once you make one, because they're higher and they're, you know, so once you figure it out. But you can see the look on her face, like, I'm like, I just kind of grabbed it out of her hands and walked away because I'm like, oh, I got it. But
take advantage while you can. Walk away, Nate.
Yeah.
So, grab your ball and go home.
Yeah.
To the campground, to the KOA in Kentucky.
Have you heard of KOA?
I never have.
Okay, so they're popping up around here. I think it's like
it's been around for a while.
Yeah, at least I've just started hearing about it.
And now that you're a family man, it's a place family men go.
Yeah, and they're really good with, like the last or 2 nights ago, they had like a movie night, and then they had like a chocolate, like, slip and slide, and the fire trucks came and all that.
The chocolate slip and slide?
Yeah, they did.
They had a slip and slide and they put chocolate on it?
Yeah, and then so the fire trucks came to spray them down, and they watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and they said it's like a chocolate day or something. I don't know, whatever, but kids really enjoyed it, and they had a pool.
Isn't there a KOA on Highway 6 in between Gretna and Ashland?
Yes, I believe there is, and I've never been there.
Yeah, I never have either. I've just driven by it multiple times.
So I'm probably going to drive into it sometime here just to see what it looks like compared to the other one. But
that's not far from you whatsoever.
No, Ashland's, if I get Subway for the family, that's 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away.
You betray your local sandwich establishment?
We don't really. We have Bulldog's Bar here in Murdoch. That's more of a burger place. And I know I've told you, and you know, we've talked about the gas station.
For those who don't know, which I'm sure you don't, they're on our online coronation chat room called Slack. We went over, I don't know how it got started, local delicacies, and you brought up this gas station in your town that has a highly sought after sandwich that I desperately want to try sometime soon. So the fact that you betray that place and go to Subway is kind of appalling.
Okay, so it's not in my town. It's 12 minutes away. It's kind of outside of Weeping Water. They call it Hilltop, and not last winter for sure, because I didn't hear it last winter, but the winter before, they didn't pay for heat, the owners, and the employees had to sit in their car and to keep warm. And but you can get sliced meat there, and I will not eat there. So. I know, and you want me to send you a sandwich, and that someday I will. But
it's not that I just want a sandwich. I want one delivered to me, like mail. I want a sandwich sent to me.
Oh, okay. All right, so it doesn't have to be that one.
I will live tweet that if that happens.
Oh, man. Anyways.
So anyway, you get sandwiches in Ashland. There's a KOA up the road. Someday you're going to go get sandwiches with your family and spend the night at the KOA, right?
Yes.
That's the plan now.
My wife, she listens, so she's probably going to be so excited. Yeah.
Well, and then you can wake up the next morning and go to Voodoo Taco. Is that still there in the outlet malls?
I think it is, yeah.
Go get some Under Armour.
Yeah, Levi's jeans. That's about all that I'm going to buy there.
Yeah. And then head back home.
I know.
That sounds like a weekend, man.
That's living the life right there.
A little bit, little chocolate slide for the kids.
Oh my, yeah. I missed out on that, so
it's okay. But, I'm sure they'll pull it out for you again.
Anyways, moving on. What I wanted to ask you, what I will ask you is Brian Rosenthal. If people don't know, he is the writer and creative content specialist for Huskers.com.
Really good guy.
Yeah, I think he used to write for Journal Star.
He did for a long time.
Okay. So he tweeted us out tonight, and this just happened right before the podcast, that he went through the Cook Museum, which is he from there?
Cook, Nebraska?
Cook Museum. Cause he is from there at one point, at least. He lived there. He said he found a picture of the house he grew up in, and he believes it was built in the early 1900s. And then he says, also, guessing Henry is the guy that ... never mind. Nobody believes me. So I'm thinking, what is it, a ghost or whatever? He then, or like, you know, he must have thought he saw a ghost and no one believes him. So then he then replies, he must have posted it on his Facebook. And he goes, yeah. And then there's a picture of comments of people who have lived there since him talking about the exact same. Looks like there's a ball. It sounded like a ball falling down the stairs in the middle of the night. Someone who lived there. And then he said that ball fell from the attic stairs and landed squarely in front of Kimberly's room. And I don't know who Kimberly is. I don't know if it's a sister or whatever. But all of a sudden, I just think that's crazy. He's like, you know, I believe in ghosts. I don't know if you do. But I think it's just crazy that he.
I know. Yeah.
Well, then.
I've grown up in old houses. I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, then you need to talk to Brian. So you know Brian.
I know of Brian. I read his stuff. He's been a good writer. Yeah, no, he's good. He's quality. At least I think so.
You know, I just think that that'd be fun. I think so. I don't know. I have my own experiences type of thing, but
have you been haunted?
My house, the house I grew up in, which my parents live in now. I believe I'll double check, but it was a church, and it might have been a mortuary in the basement type of deal.
What kind of church was it?
It was.
Was it like those late 1800 revival, you know, Third Adventist Baptist Congregational Church?
I assume it was a Methodist coming church.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I'm Methodist, so yeah. All right, we're good with this.
Yeah, no, I assume because around here, the only church in Murdoch is the Methodist Church. I don't know, but
we don't die.
Yeah. So I just think if someone came forth and, you know, say God came forth and said, oh, by the way, there are no ghosts, I'd be like, okay, I'd move on.
So you need like hard truths from the Lord above that there are no ghosts. And let's be honest, if the Lord came down and said that, I think there'd be some other things that might come from him outside of ghosts at that point.
He's like, yes, by the way, I think there's a lot of disagreement among you guys, but by the way, there are no ghosts.
I have 17 things I want to tell you. Number 13 is that there are no ghosts.
And by the way, stop at every stop sign and don't, and you cannot.
Look both ways.
Yeah, look both ways. Anyway, so, no, I thought it was funny that Brian, you know, he tweeted that out, and then all of a sudden, people who live there after him. So, no, that's all I got, so.
It's, God, we're in the dead of the off season, man.
I just want basketball. Really,
I know.
Bad.
Football. Football, basketball, whatever. Just give us something. I mean, it's after the All-Star break for baseball, so we at least have a rough idea of how baseball teams are going to shape up. But let's be honest, that's all going to change probably in the next month and a half. You know, the pennant race starts heating up. But, dude, there's nothing. There's nothing. Husker basketball gets to go to Italy here in a couple weeks. And it sounds like they're setting up a streaming service so we can watch online, though we don't know with what organization and through who and to what extent the quality will be. But that's kind of all we've got to talk about. I mean, you know, hopefully they're not playing at 3 a.m., which they very well could be.
Yeah, and you know, I love Nebraska basketball, but I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. to watch it.
I'll probably be up with my kids, so I'll probably be watching it.
Well, right now I'm lucky enough that my kids somewhat sleep through the night, so but I will not. Lucky. So you know if you can record it with your phone, just sit there while your kids are awake, record it.
Pull the old Oklahoma Army game last year.
Hey,
Periscope it up.
Fun. That Periscope. If long as I can,
I'll
see
wear
it
socks though.
Fact. Wear socks.
Remember that guy?
No, I don't.
Last year's Oklahoma Army game. I think it was last year's where Army almost beat Oklahoma. Yeah, it was last year, and it was a pay per view event because the Big 12's media rights stinks. So when you have open games, I think you have like one or two open games a school can sell out to whoever, and Oklahoma sold the Army game to pay-per-view, which is, you know, like $50 a head. Remember those days back in the Big 12 when Nebraska would have like two or three games
yes.
on pay-per-view, and it was like, all right, I guess I'm
horrible.
Listening to the radio. Well, this guy
like
bought
Southern
pay-per-view.
Mississippi.
Yeah, but this guy bought pay-per-view, and he just, you know, when it was close to the end and everybody online was talking about it, but nobody could watch it, he, I think, opened up Twitter and his Periscope, and you know, he had like 50,000 viewers or whatever at one point watching.
It was a good game though, right?
It was a great game, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't watch
right,
it. I think I watched about 2 seconds of him and his feed, and I was like, I'm not doing this.
This guy's like, here we go.
Yeah, but it was quite the phenomenon. So I could do that. No, I'll wear socks. Don't worry, guys. Anyway,
hey,
moving on.
You know what? Take care of your feet, and I guess you're proud of your feet, and then flaunt it out there.
Hey,
that's okay.
I'm proud of my feet, but I'm not going to. I shouldn't say I'm proud of them, but my feet are fine, but I'm not going to subject the internet to them. There's certain standards of society that I'll just, you know, you just can't do, man. Anyway. One of the things you and I have been talking about has been, if Fred Hoiberg did not come to Nebraska, who do you think would have been a good fit? You know, who, NBA, college, high school, what coach do you think would fit in Nebraska? Nate, you came up with this. Who do you think could be that person?
Okay, so when I brought this topic up, I thought, you know, right now, okay, because right now you have, you know, I think we have a top 15-ish coach, I'd say. And that could he could jump up really quick, you know, just depending on how the year goes. But I was thinking, who would I trade Hoiberg for? And I'm not sure if this is what you were thinking or if this is the road that you were wanting to go down, but I was thinking of the current college coaches, who would you want, you know, who would you trade Hoiberg for? You know, let's say it was the NBA and could trade coaches. And so I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun because it's not that easy, you know. I, because one of the best parts about Fred Hoiberg is that his Nebraska ties and that he has coached in the Midwest. He's, you know, Iowa State's, but I mean, a very short drive away. But who would I trade like right now for? And, you know, I have a list of probably 15 guys. And I just writing down just like, maybe not. But he'd be hard to trade for, you know, because he just fits so well, I think, with the culture. And he's we got lucky. But do you have any thoughts on this? I mean,
you know, I'm not a Duke fan per se, but I'd say Coach K.
I am not. I want to say this. I think when Coach K retires, Duke's going to be nothing. I think it's the, I think unless you get,
but they got like, that mad ACC money, yo.
I don't know. I just think
there's no ACC money. It's Clemson. That's it.
I'm like, I was thinking, wait, is there ACC? Is there money I don't know about?
North Carolina, I think, has money.
Yeah.
Duke probably has money. They probably got donors that'll pony up the money.
Well, and that's true. Yeah. But I'm just thinking that when he leaves, he is Duke, you know,
he is the face of it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so like when he's gone, it's over, I think. And one of my friends who, you know, whenever Duke, North Carolina play, cause I consider myself a North Carolina fan. Cause you kind of got to pick a side sometimes. He would just rag on me, you know, when Duke would win. And I asked him, hey, so when Coach K leaves and Duke, you know, I'm thinking Duke's going to suck, you know, relatively. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just stop being a Duke fan. I'm like, that is infuriating to me. Like, be loyal, you know. Anyway, so I don't have Coach K on there because, you know, I just don't like Duke. So one that surprised me after looking through the list was Bruce Pearl. You know, what do you think about Bruce?
I don't think he'd fit in Nebraska whatsoever. I don't think the administration would put up with him.
I think he's too like not outgoing, but I just think I always picture him with his shirt off at the Tennessee women's game in the student section.
He doesn't exactly have the cleanest history. I don't think our administration would touch him, but just based on that alone, I think he's a great coach. But he's a down, you know, body paint with Pat Summitt and everything. He's definitely a rah-rah type coach, very positive, but his track record isn't exactly stellar. So I would say, from what little I know of the Nebraska administration, I don't think they would touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I just think that's when you go, you know, he brought Tennessee out from, you know, they're struggling pretty good. And then, you know, he got in trouble and he came back and he got the Auburn job. And then, you know, and they've been really good since. I'm like, okay, the guy can coach. He can recruit and he can coach. So, you know, I'm a North Carolina fan. And I said, you know, what about Roy Williams? And I really don't know how great of a coach he is. And then seeing that in relative terms to other big name college coaches, he's at North Carolina, you know,
mm-hmm. With a nice little stint in Kansas.
Yes. And yes, I would say, you know, he was successful both places. But you know, and he'd be fun to watch cause they get up and down, and that's kind of what, you know, Hoiberg wants to do. So, I don't know. I mean,
I can see him fit in. I think he'd be okay at Nebraska. He'd piss off the entire town of Lawrence.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been around the Midwest. I mean, I think he cares about his kids, which I care about. So
how about Self?
What?
Bill Self.
Oh, I have heard people say he can't coach himself out of a paper bag. And it's like, I haven't watched enough Kansas to really know, you know.
He has and a particular so system he likes to run.
What?
He has a particular system he likes to run, and if he doesn't have the right guys, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. This is
maybe, I mean, he's made it work.
But I have before my number one, I have Linders.
I'm not doing a list. Oh, okay, all right.
No, I'm just thinking of the guy that the one I would trade for. Because I still am not.
Greg's head just blew up.
What?
Greg's head just blew up.
I know he's dying right now. I also thought Mark Few, Jay Wright, Greg Marshall, but he's kind of been struggling. But Gino Auriemma, I'd love to see him in the men's game. I'm sure he'd be just fine.
Honestly, his name was one of the first ones that popped in my head when we talked about this earlier.
I'd love to see him. I'm a big fan. I hear
he's a complete jerk.
That's too bad.
But a lot of top coaches are. Again, you hear that. He's a winning coach. That's all that matters. And his programs don't get into trouble.
Yeah, he said, he's always on those, if you follow a lot of basketball coaches on Twitter, you always get things said by him, which you like, but I don't know. Hey, how about this? Greg McDermott, what your thoughts?
Greg McDermott. He would be a good coach, but he wouldn't be anything special.
You don't think Nebraska would trade Hoiberg for Greg McDermott?
I don't think they would. I don't see that happening. I mean, again, he's a good coach, but I don't, even if Greg was at Iowa State, I still don't see us going after him.
One guy I am not interested in is Calipari from Kentucky.
Another guy that I just don't, with his track record, he kind of left UMass in shambles, right?
Yeah.
Same with Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis.
His track record's not something that's too enviable. I don't see the University of Nebraska putting up with that, or even going near it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't see our administration dealing with his history. Good coach, great coach, but yeah.
How about the Bo Pelini of college basketball, Frank Martin, South Carolina? Oh, I love Frank Martin. Oh, he sings to me. No, I would
too
not.
Bad, too him. Bad he went to the SEC right before the SEC was, started actually investing in basketball.
Yeah,
his teams were fun. When he was at K-State, he was fun to watch.
Oh, I know. He's one of those coaches that he screams at you, but he's not like demeaning you,
Yeah.
From what I can tell. But anyways. But I also wrote down Chris Beard and Tony Bennett, the two, in the end this past year. They both played the same type of defense and, not exactly the same, but both really great coaches. Our coaching staff here at the high school, we've gotten some, a video of one of their practices, the Chris Beard. He starts every practice with defensive drill, which I've never done. And even when I played or coached, I think that's a really good idea. And so we'll try doing that this year. And so we might steal that from Chris Beard, Texas Tech. Tony Bennett, great coach. He's winning in Virginia. I mean, so.
And he will continue.
But so what are you thinking in your mind?
Other than the ones I mentioned? For coaches?
Sure. I don't know.
No, that was pretty much the list off my head. Coach K was the first one and really kind of the main one that I would probably trade. I really can't think of anybody else right now. It's Nebraska got a coup. If it wasn't gonna be Tim Miles this next year, I'm glad we got Hoiberg.
I know that's
a cop out, but
yeah, that's fine. No, but my number one was Tom Izzo. I love Tom Izzo. He's very he screamed at one of his kids this past year on the bench, which I'm not that great of a fan of. I guess it is up to me. I think, you ride the kids hard and practice, and then you give them some freedom in the game. But I'm a big Tom Izzo fan, so.
Yeah, he'd be great, too.
That's all I had for that.
I don't know if he could recruit to Nebraska, though. I don't know if he could.
He might not be able to.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you got to kind of fit in. He'd be a good coach, but I don't know if he could pull it off. So, because Michigan State at least had history when he got there. So, anyway.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
That wasn't our top five list for the week. As many of you know, we are doing top five lists as the summer goes on before preseason really kicks into gear for Nebraska ball, and we actually have stuff to talk about. Today, we are doing a mixed top five. Nate's going to do his top five. I'm going to do a top five, unnumbered. And today is going to be overrated films. So these are films that are probably, you know, hyped up fairly well in life, have good reviews, but we personally do not think they are that good. So with that said, Nate, what is your number five most overrated?
My number five, I'm going to find out if one of my friends listens or not. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't care for the movie. It's kind of a, if people haven't seen it, it's this kid who kind of fakes being sick and goes and has an adventure in Chicago. And I'm game with it the whole way. And then he gets to this parade and they all start singing. Like, he gets up on one of the floats and starts singing. What?
It's a musical number.
A musical number, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And they're all like dancing, and I'm like, no, you lost me. I'm out. You know? But it's like one of the, you know, people love that film. A friend of mine loves it, and I just, him and I go back and forth on multiple things, and that's one of them. I'm like, I can't get with it. You lost me when you jumped on a float and everyone started singing with you. So that's my number five.
I thought that was a great film when I was a kid. I thought he was an ingenious young person that I would try to emulate, though I never had the intellect to do so at such a young age, or even now. So, yeah, no, I could see where you'd not care for it too much, but yeah. My number, I don't have numbers. I'm not going to number. One of my top five is Avatar.
Oh.
It popped in my head because I think the most recent Avengers movie just passed it in income, how much money it made.
Gross revenue or whatever.
Whatever it is.
I forget, yeah, whatever they use.
And
yeah.
I thought it was kind of blah. I wasn't that impressed. I remember when it came out. It was, and I guess they're making a new one. But I remember when it came out, it like blew up, and it blew, you know, blew past Titanic on the revenue and all this stuff, and every, you know, it made everybody believe and believe in what, I don't know, extraterrestrial life, healthier planet. But I thought it was blah. In fact, I couldn't remember most of what I saw after I saw it. It just didn't connect to me. So yeah, Avatar.
Oh, by the way, there are 4 new Avatar movies coming.
Won't have my money.
No, it won't have mine. And I watch a ton of movies, and a lot of them are. I say, oh, that's probably a Redbox movie. That's not even going to be a Redbox movie. I mean, unless I guess somebody we start hearing that they're just great. No, I'm not interested. So.
Yeah.
My number 4, which I have some that are probably gonna. Not upset people, but be more. No, anyways, all Quentin Tarantino movies. I don't like them. They're movie I went to go see, but then we snuck into the theater that my other friends were at for the very end of Kill Bill, I think, Volume 1. And, you know, that you see the arm being sliced off and this fake, you know, this super fake blood. And every other Pulp Fiction, I don't get, you know, like, yeah, okay. And I just think sometimes people become fans of movies because they think they're supposed to be fans of movies, and someone told them the movie is really good, and so they really like it, you know. The only exception, though, for Quentin Tarantino, I really liked Inglourious Basterds, so that's my number four.
Understandable. You know what? I'm a fan of Tarantino. I don't like all of his stuff. I liked Inglourious Basterds. I really liked Reservoir Dogs. Really liked Pulp Fiction. But one I did not care for, and you mentioned it, was Kill Bill. I did not think at all Kill Bill was a good movie. I think you hit, you know, a very good possibility on why it was so blown up, is that people thought it was supposed to be. You know, people were told that it was good. I felt like, and you got to look at his film, especially back then, he was known for his dialogue, right?
Yes.
You know, his screenplays, you know, how the characters interacted. A lot of those early films, that's a lot of what it was. And I feel like Kill Bill, he was trying too hard to outdo himself. Because the dialogue, he was trying to take from the films from the 60s and 70s that he grew up idolizing. And that was just a different world, and he tried to put it into a modern setting, and the dialogue just, it was rough. You know, it was unrelatable. If it was made back in 1972, it probably would have worked out okay, but Kill Bill was just, to me, it was just not a good film. It's, you know, it's, I think if there's a movie to go back and redo, a la, you know, Empire Strike, or Return of the Jedi, whatever one that, you know, Lucas went back and changed, I would say Kill Bill would probably be that film for Tarantino.
You know, I still remember that you were talking about the, you know, like the screenplay, I guess, you know, but in Inglourious Basterds, the scene of when, what's his name, whatever, comes into the house, and I think the Jews are in the basement.
Was it Christoph Waltz?
Yes, great. Oh, that's great.
It's a great, and the cinematography on that.
I know, but when they're just, you know.
I mean, on top of it, you know, I mean, it's on this, like, German prairie or, you know, wherever they're at. And it's a beautiful setting. And then he walks in, and there's the whole thing with the pipes. You know,
doesn't he ask for milk?
Yes. So, you know, and drinks it, and it's just this long, beautifully done scene.
Yeah. So that I appreciate that, but other stuff I just know.
There's a scene of Tarantino at his best.
Yes.
Honestly, you know, that's where he excels at his craft. Whereas the entire movie of Kill Bill 1 and 2 were just not. So, anyway, what's one of your other fives? Oh, I already did mine. Now it's your turn.
Okay. What was your
Avatar, Kill Bill.
Oh, you did Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going off of my Tarantino part. Okay.
Yeah, I jumped in because mine are in no particular order.
Oh, that's how we want it. Okay. Team America, World Police. Okay.
Oh.
I sat in the theater, and I'm like, this is the stupidest movie I've ever seen. Like, you know, anyways. And there's a lot of comedy movies. I'm either going to love it or not, you know. But all my friends are just dying laughing. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And so I was looking up, you know, IMDb's top 100 comedies. And so and there's a lot that I actually really like. Just so I don't sound like an old fuddy-duddy, because I don't like a 15-minute sex scene in Team America World Police. Super Troopers, Old School, Ace Ventura, Hangover, which is probably one of my favorites, Wedding Crashers, Harold and Kumar, Road Trip, Bad Santa, Pineapple Express, Euro Trip, and then Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, which I guess they're coming out with a sequel. So
they're rebooting it. whatever.
Oh, they're rebooting
it? Yeah, whatever that means. No, the trailer just came out, and it's going to be great because Kevin Smith's awesome, even though he does make a lot of bad films too.
Yeah, I love Jaden Silent Bob. So I'm not, you know, I just think Team America World Police is dumb. So that's all I got. That was my number
I love that film.
Three.
I remember watching that in college. It was great. So my next one, this one's probably going to get some comments because it's a good character. It's a good actor playing the character. But it's not a bad film, but I thought it was highly overrated for the hype it got. And that was Deadpool.
I mean,
Ryan Reynolds was born for that part. It's a great character. It speaks to today. You know, it's the anti-hero. It's the breaking the fourth wall anti-hero. It was set up well. I mean, it's a good film, but it's definitely not a great film. And maybe I was expecting too much. I saw it after it was in the theaters, and I think maybe just I read into the hype so much that I thought it was going to be Citizen Kane.
That's a lot of hype.
Exactly. So, I mean, maybe it was just overhyped for me, but I wasn't that impressed with Deadpool. I wasn't.
Well, I actually really enjoyed Deadpool, but I actually get it. You know, if you hear the hype, then, you know, that can ruin a lot of movies, I think. But, you know, there are a lot of good scenes there. And, yeah, he's been wanting to make that movie forever, I guess. And he was actually I don't know how many of the Marvel movies you've watched, but he was Deadpool in one of the Logan.
Wasn't it Wolverine?
It was the first
Wolverine, yeah, and it was terrible.
It was really bad. But I'm like, oh, that's Deadpool. Somehow I figured that out. And then I looked up, he actually played that guy. Mm-hmm. And there's like, no, he doesn't make any, you know, I don't even think he talks. Maybe he does or not.
He does early on, and then when they augment him to, I think, Weapon, I can't remember what, yeah, they augmented him to where he turned into that film's version of Deadpool. They call him the Deadpool or something. It just looks like something. His mouth is gone. He's got lines on him. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's like one blade out of each arm or something like that, right?
I think
instead of swords.
God, it's
right?
It's been so long since I've seen that film. Yeah, early in the film, he's a master at using swords.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Number top five. I'm now done down to number two. And this is another one, The Godfather. I think some people think that's the greatest thing that's ever been made type of deal. I watched it, and this is just to be honest, I watched it a year or two ago for the first time, you know, start to finish. But I was also putting together some living room chairs that were very frustrating to put together. And, I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining. And I thought, you know, maybe I just don't appreciate like some of those films around that time. And I thought, you know what? There are films that I actually really enjoyed around that time. And I thought, oh, Taxi Driver. I really like that movie. And I think that's kind of an underrated movie, even though it's like, you know, it's way up there for a lot of people. But yeah, Godfather, you know, kind of overrated. So
we will be interviewing this week for a new co-host of Bangarangs and Daggers.
Oh, crap.
You're a Philistine, Nate.
Send in your resume.
Philistine.
Patrick Gerhardt.
Everybody's open to
MySpace.com.
God, really? The Godfather, man?
This is great. This is
like
why
that
I
transcends. That's like Citizen Kane in that it transcends. Like, it is so well written. The acting is so well done. The cinematography alone is beautiful. It's just the only time it's outdone is when the second one's made.
Oh.
The second one.
Yeah, the time traveling one. Yeah, I love those movies are great.
Wait, what?
I love time traveling movies like that. And by the way, people don't know the Corleone family, they actually are time travelers. They they go back to the 1200s around, you know, that they go around. No, I'm joking.
I think you haven't seen the second one.
No, I have. No, I have. It's they spent time in the beginning of the Corleone family in
Italy.
Well,
it tells the story of the Corleone family.
I know. That's what I mean by time traveling. I should have been more clear. But no, but I'm glad you said that because obviously you disagree. So when I say overrated, and I get in this with my Michael Jordan debate, I think Michael Jordan's the most overrated basketball player in the NBA in history. Overrated. To me, that means that he is obviously doesn't mean he's not very, 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 very good. And he could be the best ever. And, you know, Godfather could be the best ever, you know, but I think it's not what people think it is. Just like, and I say about Michael Jordan, he seems to get better every year. He hasn't played in a long, long time, but he seems to be getting better every single year.
Your favorite movie is like Superbad, isn't it?
It is not. Absolutely not.
Anyway. No, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, just not that one. no, it's fine. Okay, my next one in no particular order is, and this is, you know, this one's probably going to get a little feedback too. And again, it's not a bad movie, but I think it's overblown. And that is The Big Lebowski. You know, it's got some great scenes. It's got some great acting. It's got some great quotable lines. But, you know, in the end, it's a movie about a slacker and some nihilists and a lady who lost her pinky toe. White Russians are not a good drink.
And the Jesus, right? Or the
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Jesus?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Though I will admit, I bought my first rug because of that film.
Because of that film, you bought a rug.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. But as a whole, you know, as time has gone on, I'm like, you know what? It's really not that great of a movie. It's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but that reminds me, like, your explanation reminds me of the movie Say Hello to My Little Friend. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm brain dead on this one too. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
drug dealer, and he's shooting everyone at the end.
Scarface.
Whatever.
Oh yeah, Scarface was a bad movie.
Scarface. That's right.
Yeah, and that, I don't think that film got big until like 10, 15, 20 years later though. Either.
Well, I know. Yeah, that's a good point.
It was not. Yeah, I mean, it might have been okay when it first came out, and actually, the beginning premise of it of Cuban exiled refugees in Miami. And how they kind of start their lives in America is actually kind of a good start to a storyline, but it just gets absurd after a while.
Yeah, but like you're right though. I think it got popular because it, you know, kind of got popular. You know,
yeah.
People all of a sudden these posters start popping up. You know, say hello to my little friend. You know, and then I didn't care about that movie either, but it kind of reminds me of The Big Lebowski because I think. People are more, you know, they're more into the idea of the movie than the actual movie itself.
And
if that makes sense.
Yeah. And Jeff Bridges does a great job, but it's not as, I mean, he does better, he has better performances.
Yeah, like in Hell or High Water. I love that movie. But
what's the title? The Last Great Picture Show? The Last Great American Picture Show? It's from the 70s. It's a really good film. It's been forever since I've seen it.
He's a really good actor.
He is. So, all right, what's your number
one? My number one, and this might upset a lot of people, Shawshank Redemption.
That's fair.
I could not care less about this movie. People have said, every time it's on TV, I got to stop and watch. And I understand those type of movies where it's, he's like, oh yeah, I could stop in on this movie. No matter where it is in the movie, and I could watch. To me, Shawshank Redemption is a movie that, you like watch once, you know, maybe twice, and it
gets boring quick.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's not like action that kind of makes you want to come back, and it's not like funny. It's just, and I think it's a good movie, but like some people think that it's, you know, one of the best movies of the past, you know, what, 20 years?
30, I'd say. Now.
I'm terrible with time when it comes to that.
I think it's early mid-90s when it came, mid-90s, 95, 97, something like that. So
that's my number one.
That's a good one. No, I agree with you. I know a lot of people who, like yourself, swear by that movie. And again, it's a good film, but for the extent of like life changing, like some people make it out to be, I just don't
absolutely
see it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think you hit on the head. It's a one time watcher. You know, you walk away, wow, that was a really good film, and then you move on with your life. You know, it's got some good moments in it. There's one scene that I've always thought was good, and that was when they're up tarring the roof of one of the buildings,
drinking beer.
Yeah, well, and how like they got to the beer, and then how he got to his criminal enterprise within the prison, doing the taxes and stuff.
Yes,
that scene itself was good. We almost got tossed off, but I mean, just one of the ones I liked. But yeah, as a whole, I would say it's overrated. You're correct on that one. You're back on the podcast.
Oh, I'm back. Thank you. Very
like
much.
I always say. So
you know, I was thinking of the movie. As far as like, there's some movies you can just only watch once, and like movies you really, really enjoy, but you can only watch once because you already know what's going to happen. And
the special moment that it makes is fleeting.
Yes.
That's a good
Shutter Island for me. Have you seen Shutter Island?
I have not. That's a DiCaprio, right?
Yeah, so that is a movie for me.
That's kind of a psychological mind. That's kind of a psychological thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, and once you know the whatever, then it's like, okay.
That was great, but if I watch it again, all this lead up's going to be nothing to me.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
No, that makes sense.
So what's your last of your top five?
My last one? My last one, another one that's probably going to get some people riled up, is Zoolander. I remember when it came out. I never cared for it. I remember going on a date in college, and we went to go see Zoolander, and she thought it was great, and I'm like, eh. And then, you know, as years gone by, I meet more and more people that are like, oh my God, it's hilarious, it's wonderful. Man, I just didn't care for it. I mean, I see why people like it, but I also see why people.
No, it's dumb.
The masses,
it's just dumb
the masses are not always correct.
No, yeah, this is a dumb movie.
You know, I mean, it's, but I'm who's the lead in it? I'm blank on names. It's getting late.
Ben Stiller.
I'm not a huge Ben Stiller fan. I've never been a big Ben Stiller fan. I think that might have something to do with it.
Sometimes, comedians are better in serious roles, and I think, Walter Mitty. I love that movie.
Yes. You know what? That was one of those films. It didn't do very well.
Oh, yeah.
It started out. I thought the film started out really poorly. Like the first 15, 20 minutes I thought were kind of rough.
Yeah.
Like I did not like, and I started watching, I did not like it. And then out of the blue, when he starts to try to go, you know, when he does the search for the picture and stuff, I thought the film just blew up.
No, I love that.
He does a great, great job in that, and that's one of those films. Like he redeemed himself in my eyes in that film. That was a great, great film.
Yeah. How about Will Ferrell and
I'm kind of a Will Ferrell fan, so.
No, but he kind of did a somewhat serious one where he is a character in a book. There's a narrator. She's actually the writer. Anyways,
I'm drawing a blank too.
Yeah, she plans on killing him at some point, and because she's like the writer, but he somehow can hear her. He doesn't want to die. Anyways,
the Lego movie?
No. Yeah, so people said that's one of his best. People can say whatever, but that's one of his better. I guess it's, I don't know.
One of his better
jobs.
Outings.
Yeah, okay. Better outings. So. That's a good way to say it.
Dude, we actually had a pretty good podcast tonight.
That's fun.
We're pushing an hour for once.
Are we hit an hour? Oh,
we're pushing it. Pushing.
I'm going to find really quick. 2008. Dang it. Yeah, well, I want basketball back, though, so.
We desperately need basketball.
I think we just need sports in general. Okay. Did you listen to John's podcast? Oh, I should say, we should announce that John Johnson.
John Johnson, the founding father of Coronation, started his own podcast last week. It should be on the stream if you are on Apple and Spotify. It should pop up on your whatever you use to get your podcast. It's on the Coronation stream, and it started last week. It's every... I don't know when it is every. I think last week it published Monday.
Yeah, it's not anything
It's irregular. It's not like, you know, Five Heart, which is guaranteed to be on Friday, and, you know, Us, who's 95% of the chant times on Tuesday. he's only had one episode, but yeah, go check it out. He's got an interview I know with somebody coming up. He hasn't said who, but that's one of those ones that should definitely be getting better as time goes on. Definitely looking forward to more of John. And I think it's the John Johnson Show.
Yeah, and I said that to him. He's like, "No, it's a stupid name."
He's like, "This is dumb." And it's like, "No, dude, it works. Trust me. Dude, your name's John Johnston."
Yeah,
And you know what? His name is John Sten with a T. I know two other guys named John Johnson.
I bet, you know, we might know this one of them together. I know John Johnson, and I think, anyways.
Yeah, well. So that's it. That's all we got. Anybody out there, if you are reading this on Coronation or listening to it, go onto our Twitter or the comments section of our Coronation article and give us your top five in no particular order or in an order. Most overrated movies. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, thanks for listening.
Thank you.